Hello, and welcome to Hope Church. We're a local church with chill style, real faith, and no perfect people allowed. Thanks for checking out our podcast. This is a message from our Soquel location in the Santa Cruz, California area. We hope this message is encouraging. If you live near either of our locations, we'd love to have you join us for one of our many Sunday services.
Good morning, and welcome to Hope Church. If you're just joining us, we want you to know that we are so glad that you're with us today. In fact, we want to send you a free gift. And all you have to do is write "I'm new" in the comments or go to our website, discoverhope.church/connect. We've got a little connect card there for you. We want to send you a free gift just for joining us online today. We're so glad you're with us. And we want to be a place where you can come as you are, in your pajamas, with your cup of coffee. Even more so now, and we in person, we're the same way. You can still show up in your pajamas, and no one's going to judge you. But it's kind of cool. We get to meet you where you're at today through Facebook Live, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, whatever way you're watching. We're so glad you're here with us today. Hey, how's your COVID hair? I've been seeing all these pictures of people posting because we can't get in to get our hair cut. Some people are resourceful and are cutting their own hair, but a lot of people aren't. And I've seen a lot of pictures posted. So if you want to show us your COVID hair, I thought it was kind of funny because I was looking at all these pictures and I'm thinking, that's me all the time. I always have COVID hair, but I'm growing out a special little COVID goatee here. Or I don't know if you call it a goatee or a stash or whatever. I'm still kind of undecided. So maybe you can vote. Let me know if I should grow it out or get rid of it. Maybe shave it off. Shave it or grow it. I want to know. What do you guys think? And we'll see what happens there in the comments. But thank you for joining us today as we are in the Chronicles of COVID Quarantine, week 6 in the Bennett home. We're looking for new things to do around the house. And my son, Kale, has his uncle gave him a pair of rollerblades. You got to understand that being a skateboarder, rollerblades, my son's 5, and his uncle gave him some rollerblades, and I've been trying to teach him how to skateboard, because growing up, there were kind of two different schools. There were the rollerbladers and were the skateboarders. It's kind of a long-going rivalry. Yes, I did have a brief stint on rollerblades when I would go to the roller skate rink to meet girls, to work on my rollerblade moves. But most of my life I rode skateboards. And so when my uncle gave my son a pair of rollerblades, I'm not going to lie, I put the skateboard in a very prominent location, and I've been working on it with him, and I put the rollerblades nice and high up in the garage where he couldn't see them. But the other day, he was in the garage, and he spotted them. He's like, "Dad, I want a rollerblade." So I brought him down, and I was like, "All right, okay, cool." So he found his knee pads, his elbow pads, full-faced helmet. And he got all rigged up and was sitting there. He couldn't stand up. And so he's asking me. And I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like, I don't know about this. I'm kind of holding him, and I'm just kind of walking. I'm going, okay, here we go. Oh, boy. We're doing rollerblades now. All right. But he really was trying hard, and he wanted to learn it. And so I thought, you know what? Who cares? We'll start with the rollerblades, and then we'll work on the skateboard. And so I kind of just had to surrender to the moment. I'm a dad first before I'm a skateboarder. And so I'm going to take him out. I had him out in the street. We're rolling. I'm working on, doing the triangle, push forward, do your thing, get those rollerblades moving. And we're rollerblading in the street yesterday. And Kali, I know you're watching. I want you to know I'm super proud of you, buddy. You're amazing. You're crushing it. And We're gonna get this. We're gonna get the rollerblades, and then maybe we'll do some skateboarding too. Let me know. Okay. Well, I'll talk to you after the service. But we're in this series right now, where there's this guy named Paul. He's the Apostle Paul. People call him that in the church, and that's because he met the resurrected Christ on the way to persecute Christians. It changed his life so drastically that he became one of the most prominent leaders in the first century. And he planted a ton of churches until it got him thrown into jail. And so he's in chains, he's in prison, he's on the lockdown. In fact, he lost everything. And he's writing to this church in Philippi that he had started, and they sent him a gift. A guy named Epaphroditus brought this gift to him, in prison, and he's writing to them, and you can tell he just has this connection with them, but he's writing them about joy in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of what he says, the scripture we're going to read today, it talks about how he's lost everything for the sake of Christ, and he's still rejoicing. I want you to check out the scripture. We're going to go live to my correspondent on the purple velvet couch. This is Justin Hambone Hamilton.
Hey, what's up, guys? Quick shout out to the Hope Youth. I love you guys. Isaiah, Kaleo, Jake, Micah, all you guys. And there's like so many more of you that I miss, but we definitely love you guys. Just letting you know, we do have our 831 Hope Youth Group Instagram page live on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We hope to see you there. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and read Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more so. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things we gain to me, what I have gained, these I have also counted as a loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but which is through the faith that is in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and know the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if, by any means, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend, but one thing I do forget is those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mindset. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in the following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have heard of us, a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For out of citizenship is in heaven, for our citizenship is in heaven. For which we have also eagerly awaited for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is enabled to subdue all things to himself.
Thank you, Justin. We're lucky to have Justin on our staff here. Working with the youth. It's good to serve with you, Justin. Have you ever been frustrated by being on lockdown? Have you had any moments where you're like, I want to go do this, I want to go do that? Like, I had a freak out moment last week when they were talking about the governor shutting down all the beaches and all the state parks in California. Honestly, I've been doing pretty good. Like, I kind of got into a rhythm. Our family's doing pretty good. And when that went out, I went into a panic, and I had to stop and think about, man, what is more important in life, people's lives or surfing? And you think it would just be a clear-cut, easy answer, but it's not easy to say that. And so we've had some inconveniences other people are going through some real struggles and frustration and some real suffering going on there. And the Apostle Paul understood that. See, he had planted these churches, and specifically this one in Philippi, and now he's locked down. He's in chains. And there was a group traveling around sharing a message different than Paul's message. And they were basically saying that if you work hard enough and if you do all these things to look good on the outside, to be perfect, that's how you become a Christian. They were making people who were non-Jews become circumcised, right? And so they were, and Paul is angry. He's mad because here he is stuck here and they're going around doing damage, messing with these churches that he loves and cares for. And so that's why he said, watch out for those dogs, watch out for those people. And he said, whatever I had, and he's like, you think you guys have a reason to be, to, you know, brag for being perfect? Look at me. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a Pharisee. You know, he's talking, he's given his list of credentials, but not really because he's trying to claim it. It's because it's sarcastic, right? He's trying to say, well, look at me. Look at what I did. And I consider all of that a loss. I surrender all of that to something greater, right? Because Paul, he knew that we can't earn our salvation. We can't earn our pathway to God because of our own righteousness or our own deeds. He knew it was all based on grace because of what God did, not because of what we can do. And so Paul is giving this message, but in this, so there's a specific situation that he's speaking to, but I think there's some even bigger guiding principles that can speak to us right here where we're at today. The first thing I want to tell you, I have three things I want to share with you today. The first thing I want to tell you today is that what we can learn from Paul is that when we're going through a difficult time like this, the first thing we need to do is surrender control. I think it's easy for us to want to be in control. That's why we're rearranging our houses and we're doing projects, and that's why everyone's at Home Depot. But you know what? It's not about control right now. It's about surrendering to God, because God has a bigger plan and a bigger picture. And that's what Paul knew. He said this, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Can you say that you've lost all things? I can't. I almost lost surfing and I freaked out. The other day, you know, I live in a small house, like a lot of you, and we have one bathroom, and there's two females that live in the house, my wife and my 13-year-old daughter. And we have many hairbrushes in the house. I'm the only one that keeps mine in the same spot. I have a little black hairbrush. It goes in my, we have three drawers. Kali doesn't get one because he's only five. Well, he has a little tiny one. But I have my own drawer, and I have my own little black hairbrush, and I put it in there, and you know what happens sometimes? The other five hairbrushes are gone missing because they're not put back in the same place. And people, they know where to find my hairbrush. And then I go to find my hairbrush in the morning when I'm trying to get ready, and I can't find my hairbrush. And guess what happens? I'm totally chill and peaceful, and I'm like, cool, guys. No, I start freaking out. Where's my hairbrush? Where is my hairbrush? I'm freaking out. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you can relate to that. You know, you put your keys in the same spot. People mess with you. You know, I'm pretty chill, but don't mess with my hairbrush. You know what I'm saying? And here's Paul. He's saying, like, I've lost all things. All things. I haven't lost all things. I freaked out over my hairbrush. I freaked out over maybe losing surfing for another week or month or whatever. Like, I'm going to live. And yet there's people who've lost all things. And Paul lost all things for the sake of Christ. Because of following the command of God. You know, sometimes we have this idea that our Christianity is just like this idea that God just wants to bless us with material things. And if we pray that God will just, you know, and the reality is sometimes Jesus said, you'll have trouble in this world, right? There's going to be hard things that we face, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. Like, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or nor forsake you, right? I'm going to be with you going through this. And so Paul's in the middle of this, right? He knows God is good. He knows God is faithful, yet he's going through really hard stuff, not just because of his own choices, but because of following Christ. It's cost him everything. He says, for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Now, the word he used there was less polite. It was a word that we don't use very often. Maybe it, that means dog poop, okay? And that's the word he used. And he used a shocking word to get people's attention, to say, hey, all those things, all my attempts to look perfect, to be perfect, I just consider them like dog dung. They're nothing compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about for Paul. It's about knowing Jesus. And there's something I think that we gain. There's a closeness. There's a perspective that we gain when we lose stuff. And we have to lean on our relationship with God. In fact, that's what God created us to have, that relationship with Him. Not as an add-on, like, hey, my life's good and I'll just take a little bit of God in my life. Like, He wants to be Lord. He wants to be our all in all. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, right? Everything we have. And that's what Paul was doing. And sometimes we don't really know how valuable that relationship with God is until everything else is stripped away. I think about a famous theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you haven't heard of him, look him up. He was alive during World War II, specifically in Nazi Germany. He took a stand against Hitler and the corruption and the evil. And it got him thrown into a concentration camp where he was killed. But from there, he wrote many writings, many theological writings, many books, and that are changing the world up until today. And this is what he said. He said, we don't understand him, speaking of Jesus, if we arrange him for only a small compartment in our spiritual life. I think for some of us, you know, we want to have it all. We want to live the good life, and we'll take a little Jesus too. Because you know what? It feels good to have peace. It feels good to go to church and check that box. But God doesn't really let us do that with him, right? He wants to be everything. And sometimes it's these moments where we lose stuff and we have perspective that's different than normal, where we realize how valuable that relationship with God is. So I want to encourage us, let's surrender control. And the second thing is, let's seek what really matters. Paul said, I want to know Christ. I don't care about anything else. I want to know Christ. And I think about when I first became a Christian, I was 16. I was going down the wrong path. I was living life on my own and it wasn't getting me very far. And even on the outside, I probably looked normal and good. On the inside, I was miserable until I found Christ. And for me, it wasn't just, oh, I'm going to add a little Jesus into my life. I'm going to go to church once in a while, because where I grew up, it wasn't cool to go to church. And I was in a punk rock band. I was a surfer and a skater. So everything I did was already extreme. So what the heck? Why not go all in for Jesus? And I had to, you know, it's just like dropping in. You can't drop in halfway into a wave. You got to go all in. You got to paddle and throw your weight over the edge. And that's what I did in Jesus, man. I went all in and I just started going for it. I brought my Bible with me everywhere I went. And there was people around me that couldn't handle it because I was one way and now I was a different way. And I went to a Christian school, and there was people that had a problem with how much I loved God. It was like too much for them. And, you know, whatever, that's fine. It doesn't matter. You know, the persecution I suffered was minor compared to what Paul went through. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, nothing compared to that. But I'm sharing you that story because, you know what, I think I want to return to that. I don't want to just live life. After this pandemic, I don't want to go back to normal in some ways. There's some things about this that are reminding us of the realities of what really matters. You know, it's a serious time right now. And, you know, in the midst of that, there's a focal point that we can have in our relationship with God that nothing else, if you think about it, if you know Christ and you have that relationship with God, you can go through anything, just like Bonhoeffer, just like Paul, just like many other saints that have gone before us that have faced death, persecution, suffering. We can't even say that we've gone through that. But going through what we're going through right now, even though it's minor in the grand scheme of things, it can bring a focal point to our life that we seek what really matters, that we live for what really matters right here and right now, that we allow this time of staying home, maybe being out of work, maybe suffering a little bit, maybe having some uncomfortable situations with our finances or, you know, with people that are sick and, you know, and feeling that weight of that. Let's allow it not to just bring us down, but let's allow us to look up and seek a focus in our life. The last point I have for you is this. And Paul said, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me, right? So the last point I want to tell you is to stay the course, right? Let's seek what really matters. Let's surrender the control. Let's let go, and let's stay the course. I love what he says. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Right? Let's look up. In Christ Jesus, only let us live up to what we have already attained. I love this final part of the scripture where he says, let's live up to what we've already attained. Paul uses a Greek word there, and he's kind of giving a little shout out to the people of Philippi. This was a city that was started by a bunch of retired Roman soldiers. Okay, so he's using a military term here. And when he says, let's live up, it's a word that says march in rank, right? And I love, you can't read the Bible without seeing just the theme of community. Don't you love that? Let's march in rank. I think a lot of times in our culture, we think of everything individualistically. But the reality is we're in this together. And as Jesus followers, let's stay the course. Let's march in rank to what God has already called us to. Like he's already done everything for us. He gave his life for us. And all we have to do is follow what he's already done, what he's already created in us. We just got to allow it to happen. I want to take a minute right now to just reflect. Where do you find yourself today? What are the things that are concerning you? What are your fears? What are your worries? How many of those things at the end of your life are going to matter as much as knowing Christ? I want to leave you with this final scripture. Paul concludes the passage in Philippians chapter 3. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, right? We're not Americans. We're not Santa Cruzians. We're not Scotts Valleyans. Whatever, wherever you are listening from, you can write it in the comments, let us know. But the truth is, we're not citizens of here. It says we're citizens in heaven. As we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Right? That's the perspective to have in the midst of what we're going through. Even if we die from the coronavirus or COVID-19, even if that happens, we have a hope that transcends anything going on down here. Even if we lose our jobs, even if we lose a loved one or a friend. And I'm not saying that's good or that's easy, but in the midst of that, we have a hope. And that's why Paul is able to write a letter about joy. Rejoice in the Lord. He's constantly reminding us to rejoice. And I want to encourage you, let's rejoice in the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's Hebrews 11. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus today. Let's look up.
We hope this message encouraged you to take the next steps in your relationship with God. The cool thing is that you don't have to do it alone. There are a lot of ways you can get connected to your hope. Not only do we want you to feel at home at Hope, we'd love to help you find a home. Please check out discoverhope.church and click connect, or just email us at info@discoverhope.church. Lastly, we give everything we can away for free and rely 100% on volunteers and donations to support this ministry. If you'd like to give to the mission of Hope Church, you can select the give option on our website or text any amount to 831-800-2060. Thanks again for tuning in.